The Artist of the Beautiful by Nathaniel Hawthorne. An elderly man, with his pretty daughter on his arm, was passing along the street and emerged from the gloom of the cloudy evening into the light that fell across the pavement from the window of a small shop. It was a projecting window, and on the inside were suspended a variety of watches, pinchbeck, silver, and one or two of gold, all with their faces turned from the streets, as if churlishly disinclined to inform the wayfarers what o'clock it was. Seated within the shop, sidelong to the window, with his pale face bent earnestly over some delicate piece of mechanism on which was thrown the concentrated luster of a shade lamp, appeared a young man.
"What can Owen Worland be about?" muttered old Peter Hovenden, himself a retired watchmaker and the former master of this same young man, whose occupation he was now wondering at.
"What can the fellow be about? These 6 months past, I have never come by his shop without seeing him just as steadily at work as now. It would be a flight beyond his usual foolery to seek for the perpetual motion. And yet I know enough of my old business to be certain that what he is now so busy with is no part of the machinery of a watch."
"Perhaps, father," said Annie, without showing much interest in the question, "Owen is inventing a new kind of timekeeper. I am sure he has ingenuity enough."
"Oh, child, he has not the sort of ingenuity to invent anything better than a Dutch toy,"
answered her father, who had formerly been put to much vexation by Owen Worland's irregular genius.
"A plague on such ingenuity. All the effect that ever I knew of it was to spoil the accuracy of some of the best watches in my shop. He would turn the sun out of its orbit and derange the whole course of time if, as I said before, his ingenuity could grasp anything bigger than a child's toy."
"Hush, father, he hears you," whispered Annie, pressing the old man's arm. "His ears are as delicate as his feelings, and you know how easily disturbed they are. Do let us move on." So Peter Hovenden and his daughter Annie plodded on without further conversation until, in a by street of the town, they found themselves passing the open door of a blacksmith shop. Within was seen the forge, now blazing up and illuminating the high and dusky roof, and now confining its luster to a narrow precinct of the coal-strewn floor, according as the breath of the bellows was puffed forth or again inhaled into its vast leathern lungs. In the intervals of brightness, it was easy to distinguish objects in remote corners of the shop and horseshoes that hung upon the wall. In the momentary gloom, the fire seemed to be glimmering amidst the vagueness of unenclosed space. Moving about in this red glare and alternate dusk was the figure of the blacksmith, well worthy to be viewed in so picturesque an aspect of light and shade, where the bright blaze struggled with the black night, as if each would have snatched his comely strength from the other. Anon, he drew a white-hot bar of iron from the coals, laid it on the anvil, uplifted his arm of might, and was soon enveloped in the myriads of sparks which the strokes of his hammer scattered into the surrounding gloom.